more fist pump time on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Sean Tree, 4J Choppy, Bobby Bell. We got Peyton and Caitlin in the back live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Y'all setting midweek records as Twolos and YouTubers. So thank you so much for that. All the messages of support, people offering us jobs if and when we need it. You are appreciated. We appreciate it. 877-881-1053. Don't need to relive all the audio, but if you did miss what happened yesterday, a little brief clip of how this show and Jerry Jones with us went viral.
Oh, I remember those criticisms very well. Okay, so what?
Are they playing out to be accurate?
What's your point? What's your point?
My point is, it seems like...
Let me tell you what I'll do. Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. Okay? I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about, this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask why.
I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why
I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you.
In your face, Sean.
So things are pretty calm after that yesterday from the bosses, nothing from the Cowboys, everything cool. And then Jerry talked to Diana Russini about the interview after the NFL owners meetings and said this. I don't know that I would go as far as calling the... Well, the first thing he said, which caught me really off guard, he said he doesn't mind the questions. It's the type of questions coming from the flagship station. And then he said, the facts are, if I'm going to be grilled by the tribunal, I don't need it to be the guys I'm paying, which he's not paying. He's not paying us. I can take it from fans and take it from other people. I take a lot of pride in how fair and how much I try to work with the media. We're brothers and sisters. That has been true. But I was a little frustrated there today. The wrong ones were doing the questioning. Now, if those had been real fans sitting there, or if there had been people that knew what they were talking about, football people, I might have had a different answer. The great response from Gavin Dawson yesterday on G-Bag when they read this and heard this was, you thought Zeke was good enough to bring back and you want to lecture us about being football people? And what I tweeted out was, I may not have a Rolodex of ancient football names at my disposal, but us along with 8 million other people in this city knew what this season was going to be. So you can insult the football intelligence and take the little cheap shots at us, but right now, at least for the 2024 season, we, the show, the Twolos, the city are right, and you have gotten it wrong. So that's what my scoreboard reads. Not from 1970, not from 1990, from 2024. Shannon Sharp got really, really worked up after hearing this audio yesterday on First Take.
To put a man in fear for his job, I hate, I detest, I despise someone that would prey on the weak.
Hey.
And because Jerry Jones is in an advantageous situation, because he has the power in this situation, he would actually say that publicly. That lets you be, that tells me a lot about a man. That'll tell me a lot about a man that has power and would abuse that power to tell that man, I will get somebody in here to ask me favorable questions. That is absolutely that guy's job, is to ask. What do you think his job was? See, Jerry wants all the credit when things go well, but none of the blame. He told us how many times, the buck stopped with me. Any deal that's ever happened, I either signed off on it or I got notified of it. Now, you getting trounced. You getting run through like Sherman went through Atlanta during the Civil War, and now you want no part of it when they ask you about it. Boy, this is and I don't take this lightly. If the Cowboys don't win another playoff game or another game, as long as Jerry Jones is the owner, I'll be the happiest man in the world. For that man to put that man in fear for his job. Now, you know, moving forward, Saturday Swaggoo Stephen A., you know he's not going to ask him anything tough because that man needs that job. And for Jerry to say this publicly and said, I'm not laughing, I'm not joking, I'm out.
Woo! I had a...
For only 10 cents a day, you can support Sean Sharif so that he doesn't have to worry about asking questions.
I had an emotional father-in-law moment yesterday. He was all over the Stephen A. coverage. He heard Shannon. He caught up and he goes, the only thing that I disagree with, the only thing I took issue with is them suggesting you would ever be a sellout. And they say, he said, Sean Sharif is not a sellout.
No, I'm the sellout over here. I would absolutely sell myself.
And then did he say, I still hate Bobby on the show.
So you know who else got hype on our behalf yesterday? Jeff Saturday. He was disgusted.
The problem for me isn't he was in defense mode. He's in bully mode, right? It's in
both of them.
Yeah. He's trying to bully people because he's pissed off at himself and what he tried to do. And I'm with you on this, Chan. This is ridiculous. This, get there and threaten a man's job. GM Jerry has failed owner Jerry, but he wants to play both roles and he wants to get on a radio station and go blast a guy that he's accountable to go talk to because that's the role of the general manager to go do. And by the way, everybody said from the beginning of the season, the way this team was built, they were not built for long-term success this season because they weren't good in positions that mattered. What he said today makes that loss pale in comparison because what he said today was freaking ridiculous. And, it's something he needs to apologize for now, immediately, and own it because that's what a grown man would do in this situation. And the 47 getting piped by Detroit, it pales in comparison, man. I don't like it. I think it was an awful comment to say.
This guy is the one that wants to go in front of the mic every single week. He wants to talk after every single game. No one makes him do that.
That's right.
He signs up for that himself.
Right.
So if you can't handle your emotions or the defensiveness that's going to come outward whenever you're asked questions like this, sign someone else to do it.
I want to be fair to Jerry real quick. Maybe I shouldn't be because maybe I'm misinterpreting it. Maybe he did mean like threaten the jobs. There is a great chance that Jerry's just talking about moving his show on the station. Not like I'm going to get you fired. I'll have one of the other shows interview me. I want to include that to be fair to him. I know the headline turned into threatens the jobs. He could have just been, I think it's 60-40 that he was talking about moving shows.
That's probably what it is. What it is. But I mean, also, you know, billionaires do feel like sometimes I think that they have that power, and oftentimes they're right.
No, but let's right? even
oftentimes yeah. they are they do have.
Let's
that power.
Let's even yeah. operate. Let's say it's 100% that it's that he's going to move shows. You're still running away from accountability, and that's a problem.
Right,
and it'll make you look even worse, and it sets the next show up to be in a bad spot.
It puts them sets them up for failure. But I mean, if he moves to KNC or G-Bag, they're going to ask the same questions.
Yeah, it's not getting any. They're going to challenge the same sort of way. The question. The question that got
you
him
less
going.
Giafalo would talk forever. Less questions.
The question that he.
He get two questions instead of 12 with Eric.
The question Jerry got upset with about, you know, the execution of the players was the same question that the day before Steven stood in and didn't blink at when KNC and Zach asked it.
But Jerry's never blinked in 15 years with us. That's what makes yesterday so crazy.
But to Jeff Saturday, maybe the conspiracy theory has been out there and Jeff Saturday maybe just kind of identified it by accident when he said this pales, the Detroit loss pales in comparison. Maybe that's exactly what he wanted. People have completely forgotten about Detroit. They're just talking about this now. We don't have to worry about that anymore.
So, as my radio idol Dan Patrick would say, where do we go from here? Let's advance the story. Let's move it forward at 877-881-1053. Choppy, you had some strong comments during the 7 o'clock expressway. You said you took what he said last night especially harder than I did. For me, the only worry I have, it's not about job or anything, job status. My only worry is having the same mutual respect and interview relationship that we've had for 15 years. If Jerry, though, is going to continue forward with I'm not going to take this from the flagship. I'm not going to take this from these guys. These guys are too football dumb to be asking me. Like, yesterday was pretty belittling and demeaning. in terms of insulting us, if that's going to be the tone in the case moving forward, we'll stop it. This is me talking now. I haven't talked to the guys. I haven't talked to the bosses in depth, but we don't need it. We have to have a mutual relationship with understanding and respect. Yesterday, that was a one-off. Right now, that's the way I'm viewing it. Honestly, Jerry Jones has done way too much for us publicity-wise and content-wise for me to be like, and there's been people in this city that worked on different stations who said, just stop the interview.
Oh, yeah.
Cut it off. Don't do it anymore. You don't need it. Tolos. You can make an argument that we kept, I don't think you can make the argument. We catch the most grief before Jerry interviews every week. I think yesterday will stop a great deal of that. But basically, the criticism is you're soft, you're in the pocket, you won't ask what the fans want, all that stuff. It sucks. It does get under my skin. Matt Gangle asked me that. Nui last night. Nui, Phil Jackson, giving me the Zen type tap tactics. But yeah, it honestly, you're not supposed to admit that stuff because it just brings more trolls out. Yeah, it irritates me. I think yesterday proved what the reality is, but we're not going to be in Jerry Jones' pocket. I won't be. I won't allow the show to be. If Jerry wants to take, if he meant what he said last night, and if he wants to keep the insults going, he can go to G-Bag. And I'm not blinking when I say it. I don't know whether we need to have a discussion before he comes on next Tuesday. I don't know whether PR needs to intervene. I don't know whether we need to say it when he comes on the air. Like, we good? But he has to know that fair questions are going to continue to be asked. So, Shannon Sharp, I appreciate what you said there, brother. Awesome. You want to have me on Shay Shay to get even with RJ going on Dan Patrick, but we're not going to ask any different.
It's wonderful leather that he has in that podcast.
I want to try that liquor. I want to try whatever he's sipping on. It looks expensive. It looks soothing. It looks nice.
If he calls you Shan, will you call him Shannon?
No.
You should.
I'll take it.
By the way, when I responded to Dan, I did say it's pronounced Sean.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Thank you.
I
thought I'd throw you that bone. While you're being snipped on, you're in stirrups.
While I'm getting my bone.
While you're in stirrups.
Yeah. So that's my take on it. We have to be able to operate the same way we've been doing. I think it's been very fair. I think it's been mutual respect. But if Jerry's going to flip this switch and think that he's going to get, it has to be respectful. And if he thinks he's going to get all these softballs all of a sudden, we're not going to participate in it.
Which I can't believe he really thinks that because it wasn't.
I don't think so either.
And so that's the thing. I think there's gonna I think we're gonna find that he'll be. I mean, I don't know if he's scheduled to be on for next Tuesday because we are bye week in the way it structures. But whenever the next time is that he's supposed to be on, I anticipate that he's going to stand in there and answer more difficult questions than he got yesterday because he does. Like
I do too.
He always has.
He's never had a problem. He's never been sensitive.
I think the Detroit loss really rocked him. Just how much they got whooped, and I think he was frustrated by some of the questions he got after, and it lingered. And going into the owners' meetings and feeling embarrassed by the way his team showed up, I think all of that factored into him having just a bad day and not feeling like he wanted to conceal anything, and everything just came out because that's not who he's been in terms of handling questions for 40 years here in Dallas.
Stan Campbell's fault. He ran it up.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The trick plays the entire time.
That was fun.
Time.
Jerry said that was fun, wasn't it?
That was fun. That was a whole lot of fun.
You want to add anything, Chop?
Yeah, I mean,
you appeared a little hurt. A little hurt from last night.
Look, I did not. The interview, it is what it is, right?
You would have been totally just fine after the interview.
After the interview, I was totally fine. Like, okay, he had a moment.
Yeah.
We all had that. That must have been a hell of an owner's meeting. You know what happened? I bet you AT&T was on the table for a Super Bowl, and they gave it to Atlanta.
Oh.
And that really hacked them off.
Yeah.
Because it didn't make any sense, the way that interview went. But then he came out of it, and he doubled and tripled down on the tribunal and the guys I'm paying. That just put it into a spot where I have not gotten over that. And I don't know when I will. I don't take things personally, like, ever. And this I'm taking in a much different way. Like, you went there, you belittled somebody who doesn't have the financial means that you have, that has to have this job, all right? Or three people, four with Peyton. That's unbecoming of being an NFL owner. And I do think, as an NFL owner, yeah, you have the power to do certain things.
Yeah.
All billionaires have the power to do certain things.
And we have a relationship.
Yeah.
This isn't year one.
This is year 50. I did the math. You know, if they ever actually made the Super Bowl, we could be up to 300 interviews by now. But we're at about 200. After this year, we're at about 280 interviews.
Yeah.
Where we've talked very, very sensitive subjects with him.
Yes. Segregation.
Right?
Scandal.
Kneeling. I don't remember ever having something like this. And the interview is what it is. It's the post-interview stuff that I can't get over.
Well said. What are they saying? You can say to Dan Patrick in an hour.
Well,
what are they saying? What were they saying inside that building? Nick Eatman wants to come on. And does the Amari trade sting even more? Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, right after this. Crosstalk with the full return of the KMC masterpiece. I cannot wait to talk to Kevin Hagelin. 9:40 this morning, Sean Tree, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, now joined by our hump day friend, Nick Eatman. DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. And to Nick's credit, I'll take it behind the curtain, even though he may not want me to. I said, yo, bye week. You don't have to come on. We can deal with the Jerry stuff. And he goes, no, I absolutely want to come on. So we always like having Nick because he got stones. He got stones. He knows how to handle these situations. And he's like, I absolutely want to come on. So props to you for that. Joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Good morning.
Good morning. It's the schedule, you know what I mean? Stick to the schedule, right? That's
right. Yeah, your body just...
You're going to call me the hump day friend. I don't know if I love it.
All right. I guess we took it too far, took it too close. What did you think of everything that transpired yesterday?
Let's see. I mean...
Were you listening live, or did you start getting messages, or what?
You know, I'm actually glad. I didn't know that it was... Y'all went early. I wasn't aware of that.
My bad.
It's okay. It's all right. I was alerted of that, and I was like, oh, man. So I got on and started listening, and I'm actually glad because usually that's about the time I would be driving in. So I was at home listening, and if I was driving in, I would have been like – it might have been a hazard to the road. I was like, whoa, you know. It was you know, 4th of July doesn't provide as good of fireworks as that. It seemed like – it was very interesting, but, you know, it's a tough situation. And sensitivity is obviously high throughout the building. And, you know, you guys said it, I've heard you this morning, and I've heard, you know, your takes on it. And it's, you know, it's a tough situation to be in. And I can somewhat relate, not exactly the same, but I can relate to it. And, you know, it's not fun for anybody. It's not fun for you guys when it gets to that kind of stuff.
Is your theory as to why this happened, when it really hasn't with us over like 15 years, just the frustration is at an all-time high compared to like the last five years?
I think so. I mean, it's not normal. for that to happen and transpire like that in that interview. And you could see some of it building right after the game.
Yeah.
But it was the game. I mean, it's you losing to the Lions, you know, and the Lions are a good team right now, but we know better than anybody that you get judged by what you've done. You know, there's not a single number that gets thrown out on your show, on our shows, more than the number 29. That number gets thrown out more than anybody. It'll be 30 next year or 31 or whatever, you know, if it keeps going like that. And that's what people care about. And so you get beat by a Lions team that their number is like 70, 65, whatever it is. And, you know, and they came in here and embarrassed the team and, you know, on Jerry's birthday. I mean, so it was just a really, really bad game, bad situation all the way around. And, but you know, I heard you, Sean, say it was a one-off. And I kind of think that's probably the case.
Yeah. My theory, you don't have to comment on this, but I think a lot of that was planned. I think that he likes to send messages through 100,000 watts here and there, just to kind of let the fans know I'm fed up, I'm sick of this, I'm not going to take it, and I'm furious, and I'm angry and mad. That's my theory. I think it went a little overboard, but yeah. I think it was a little bit planned.
Maybe, and again, I wouldn't know to that. I do think there's times we've seen, you know, at training camp, some of the holdouts, some of the comments about CD or even Zach Martin, or, you know, little things, little jabs here and there that I feel like, you know, just kind of sometimes you negotiate through the media. I've seen that happen. I don't know if this would be planned, but, you know, I just think it stems from frustration. And the fans feel it. The you know, everybody feels it. Everybody wants this team to win. I think you guys know the job's, you know, more enjoyable and easier when they are winning. So it's, you know, it's just that way all the way around. And you know, it doesn't feel like a 3-3 team.
I was just about to ask you that. Is there any chance that we're overreacting to 3-3?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, there's a chance you could be overreacting to 3-3 because, yes, there's a lot of football left. They're not in the worst situation as far as standings go. Trends, though, are, you know, good football teams with good quarterbacks and good running games. This team's having a really, really hard time, you know, even getting close to in these home games. And there's going to be more of that. There's going to be more of these teams that come in here or that they go and play. And so, yes, 3-3 is great. You don't play the Giants all the time or the Browns or whatever. You're going to have to beat some of these really good teams and good quarterbacks. And so the trend doesn't look good. But, you know, the fact that if this was the best you have, then, you know, that would be a problem. And, you know, this is like, hey, is this the best you got? Then you'd be kind of worried. But the fact is that, you know, that there's some help coming, especially on defense. And, you know, they you'd like to think getting those receivers and quarterback on the same page again, you know, they got to somehow figure out the running game. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I just think, like, if this was the best you had, you'd be really, really demoralizing. But there should be some help on the way, and you'd like to think they can, you know, bounce back. But they did it against the 49ers last year. They got beat really bad, turned things around. But that was kind of like a one-off, you know, like, well, they got beat one game, whatever. But this has been like two, you could argue three, with the Ravens game. And that's where, you know, an alarming trend that has to be fixed.
Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Nick, when we were talking to Jerry yesterday, I kind of wondered, did he let something slip a little bit? When we asked about the execution issues, and it's like, why are these players so right for you? He said, what do you want us to do? You want us to go get 20 players before San Francisco. Is part of the frustrating thing for Jerry just the realization that, you know what, this isn't one problem right now. This may be up to like 20 problems that we're facing, and this roster's at a really critical point.
Maybe I don't know if he thinks that he'd like to go fix 20 players, but I a handful for sure, you know, and that's about how many key injuries, probably more than that. But I mean, you know, really, really big players that are not on this team. I think it's a frustrating thing of, and I'm sure every owner has this. They're billionaires. I mean, when does a billionaire not get what they want to get? You know, try to give someone, a billionaire, something for Christmas. Good luck.
Yeah.
So this is a case where they can't get that. You can't just go and get the players that you want. They're not there. They've been looking at the bargain bin. I mean, for the last 3 or 4 months now, you know, with all these injuries that have happened, especially with some at the same position. So they know what's out there. They know every defensive end that's ever thought about playing defensive end in football. They know that they're there because they've been looking since Sam Williams went down. So, I mean, it's just a frustrating time of you can't go and fix things. The injuries you can't control, and you can't go back and change some of the decisions. You know, I think when you look at the running back, situation, I mean, they have a theory about they don't pay third contracts to running backs, so they really try not to. You look at the free agent market; these running backs are there. Typically, it's like it's not a smart business move to do that. This year, those running backs have done a really good job, and I don't even know if that's something that the Cowboys are considering, but I know it gets talked about. So when you see Derrick Henry, you see Saquon Barkley, you see Tony Pollard, you see these guys having success, you know, you look at it and go, man, you know, I know we do, and say, Maybe that would have been something you'd like for them to change, but it's hard to go. You can't go back and do that. And I just think the frustration just boiled over yesterday, and I think it'll smooth over, of course, in time.
Is it fair to compare the compensation the Cowboys got for Amari with the compensation that Cleveland got in return?
Well, not really. It's just because it's not just apples to apples, just because of the contract and the amount of money that I think the Bills are taking, which what Cleveland was taking. And then that's something that people kind of sometimes don't factor in, is that, okay, we're not going to give you a lot because we have to absorb this hit or this money or whatever it is with the guarantees that were there. And again, I don't know all of the details of it, but it was early on in that big deal that Cooper got, as opposed to what the Bills are getting now, which I think he's in the last year of his deal. So you'll get a little bit more for it when you don't have to, you know, eat as much of the contract. So that's why I think that's the case. But, you know, Amari's a weird situation. You know, he's that guy that, you know, a lot of people want to trade for, and then a lot of people want to trade as well. You can put Brandon Cooks in that group too. You know, yeah. Cooks is a player that a lot of people have wanted, but they've also been okay with trading. And so there's reasons for that. And, but you know, this seems like a good move for him and a good move for the Bills, because he can step into there and be their guy. I think he's a number two. I think he needs to be a number two receiver on a number two team, on a team that already has a star. So I don't know how that'll fit perfectly with the you know, Bills, but you know, he's pretty good when he gets a fresh start. We've seen that before.
Nick, am I allowed in the building tonight to interview Joe Looney for Cowboys Crosstalk?
I would say, I don't know. I don't handle security. I never would, or we'll be able to, but I would think so. And man, if there's ever a good time to interview Joe Looney, it would be tonight, right? that'll be fun. I wish I was doing the show tonight. So.
Well done, sir. Thank you for showing up, as we knew that you would. We'll talk again.
See you guys.
Nick Eatman, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Let's crosstalk with the entire KMC masterpiece. How much will Bobby ruin his family's day at the fair? That's next on The Fan.
Johnston scores! Perfection! In the shootout! On the homestand! For the season so far! And the Stars outlast the Sharks 3-2.
Your face, Kevin. Take that! Ha-ha!
Take that.
Hey!
Did Kevin text you that they would lose last night while on vacation?
He has been... He said early to start the season, he said it wasn't that important to start for the first win. And I said, you can't go 82-0 if you don't win the first one. He said, they can't go 82-0 anyway.
Right now, they're
4-0, whooping everybody's ass in your face.
Yeah, right? Because like overtime losses aren't really like losses.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take 4-0 every day.
Hey, that's great.
and we really need to talk about the Stars. I know.
I take 3-3 over 4-0.
They're victory get a point in every game this year.
Victory plus with the call. What the hell are you guys doing here? I thought y'all got fired yesterday.
Oh, man.
I was in Vermont, but I was informed that you guys got fired.
Who told you that?
Jerry Jones.
Oh.
What happened?
Well, things got a little out of control.
Sure.
Are you guys getting Jerry on Friday?
Don't know yet.
So, do you want Jerry on Friday?
Hell yeah,
absolutely. Last year, in the last two years.
I have so many questions.
I believe it's during bye week.
You have so many extra value meals to order, Mike.
Mike asks all the Jerry questions.
This was cool, real quick, Corey. I'm sorry. I'm talking to Mike on the phone, and I hear his kid in the background, and I thought his son goes, "What happened with Jerry? Did I hear that right?"
Yeah.
He's like, "What happened with the Jerry Jones thing?"
He hadn't been home yet from school. We just got done with his baseball game. And he thought for sure, which I was like, it's a valid assumption, that I was the one who ticked off Jerry.
My kid texted me and was like, "Dad, did you get yelled at again?" And I was like, "No." And then this morning he was at the gym and he was like, "Oh my gosh, I saw Sean and RJ were on ESPN this morning." And I was like, so it was everywhere. But
Come on, kid, that's every Tuesday.
I agree with Choppy. You need to add a U or a W to your name if you ever want your name said right in national public stuff.
I know. But it's almost funnier with a bit that it keeps going like this.
I thought you just meant add a W because of his interview yesterday.
Hey, that's very nice of you.
You're welcome.
Did you honestly think something was going to happen to us?
No.
All right. I've been dying to talk to you.
Okay. My kids texted. Are you getting fired?
Oh, they didn't text you for your birthday.
Allison did that.
I'll tell you this. My ex-wife called me.
Here's the best. This is the best reply of the whole day. Best reply of the whole day.
She called me up and she goes, "Are you getting fired?" And I go, no, I'm not. And she goes, okay, because like everybody's texting her with like these TikToks, these tweets showing her what Jerry said that y'all were going to get fired. And she goes, "I just want to remind you that even if you lose your job, you still have an obligation to pay child support."
Dang!
I was like, son of a gun.
That's ice.
I was like, this woman.
That's ice cold.
I don't know. She could have been half joking, but yeah. She wasn't, I don't think.
Ooh, did she not work?
She does. She's a school teacher.
No, yeah. Man. She want that play money.
Women, right. Am I right?
Kevin, you got to help me with this.
Okay.
Of all the things that happened yesterday, yep. Including the tripling down that Jerry did last night with Diana Rossini.
That was really weird.
Really weird. The thing that's confusing me the most, why is he destroying his own goodwill he's built up, accurately, by the way, of not interfering and meddling and controlling interviews and the media. He's doing that by saying, "Oh, I'm fine with these questions from regular fans, but not from the flagship. I'll get people to replace you who ask the questions that I want." He has done the greatest thing I've said about him over 15 years is never has it been influenced.
Yeah,
that is such a. Yeah. I don't know if there's another owner in sports who could be as good at that as he is, and he is yet determined to flip all of that upside down and make everyone believe that he wants things controlled because he can't handle tough criticism or questions. Why?
Do you ever feel like this is one of those situations?
And to say the guys I pay?
Yeah.
Why did you say that?
Okay, first of all, I think he might actually think that's the case. Like, I'm not sure.
Well, you guys think I'll get in trouble if I like talk about like what I think the radio deal is?
I don't know what the radio deal is.
Okay. I'll just say it. This is what I think it is here. Just so everyone knows for facts.
I'm going to talk about it, Dan Patrick.
10-20, RJ. Not to interfere with you guys, sorry. I think, like, this is how it works with a lot of NFL teams. This is what I'll say. We partner with the team. We get, like, the interviews, right? Contractual obligation, Jerry, Steven, player, all blah, blah, blah. What do they get out of it? They get to control the commercial inventory. Okay. So, like, when the Cowboys game plays, or we say Mike McCarthy brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee, the Cowboys sell that sponsor, they get to keep that revenue. The Cowboys do Jerry Jones brought to you by Ford, they get to keep the revenue. The commercials during the Cowboy game, they get to keep the revenue. That's our deal, right? Yeah. We have a contract. We're radio partners.
That's why we have to do that Cowboys hour thing.
I don't know, Mike.
Probably.
Maybe.
But
makes sense.
But yeah, that is not Jerry
Jerry's money.
Paying. Yeah. It's so weird.
So
it makes him look so bad. And I'm like trying to stop him. Like, don't do this. Don't keep giving this impression that you are, you're running, you know, that you're Putin.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple
with,
of things.
With the media coverage.
This is Pravda.
I think he, like I said, I think he really might think that he does pay us because of a variety of reasons. And then also, we've all been in a point where you get so dug in an argument, you throw logic out the window and you're like, no, I'm going to win my argument. Yeah. That's all I care about now. And I think we might be in that phase right now.
No, I'm just agreeing. I'm saying that's me with what he was describing.
That's where I think we are right now, because if he would have backed off, then they still would have dominated the media coverage, but it was like Jerry Jones tucks his tail between his legs and apologizes. And instead, he was like, no, I am going to double down. I don't need it from this group and blah, blah, blah.
The tribunal?
Yeah, the tribunal.
Or the what?
The Yahoos.
The Yahoos.
The Yahoos.
I'm talking to you, the fans, not the Yahoos
right
here.
One of whom used to work in Missouri. As long as we're just using like outdated pronunciations. Look, and if nothing else, and you guys don't have to back this up, I will tell you this. One thing that I was thinking, because I heard it like after the fact, we were at the airport and everything, is when he goes, if you were a fan, I would have stopped right there and been like, that's fine. Let's disregard. I'll call you on the phone. We can have this conversation. Let's disregard this job. I grew up. I was born and raised in the Metroplex. I have bought those ridiculous Cowboys Zubaz pants, shirts,
I love those
T-shirts, pants, hats, bumper stickers, magazines, everything. I love the Cowboys. I am a fan. So tell me, I'm a fan. Explain it.
I was a fan before you bought the team.
Exactly.
That was an LOL. No, they're talking about something different. What I'm about to say is what you're referencing. It was an LOL moment when he said, if these were real fans asking me. I chuckled. I laughed. Because Jerry Jones' biggest nightmare would be opening up these phone lines.
Okay.
I've heard you guys suggest it before.
Well, let's
I've heard him kind of say, yeah, go ahead and do it.
Pull back the curtain on that.
Please.
Let's pull back the curtain on that. We did ask about that either last year or 2 years ago. But everybody was too afraid to let it happen. Not on our side.
I would be afraid.
Everybody else was too afraid to let it happen. Now, I don't know if that means Jerry. I don't know if it's the barriers to get to Jerry through the communications department. I don't know. But they stopped it from happening. Even though Jerry said he would do it, we said
they'd consider it, and that was where it kind of ended.
I do think it would be pretty unproductive and ugly, but
get that dump button ready.
You know, I also wonder, though.
But the reason it would get ugly is why Jerry, he would not want that. Jerry Jones is used to, the only real interaction he probably gets with the truth is hearing phone calls on this station. When Jerry's walking around a stadium, and maybe the booze on Sunday, everyone's asking for an autograph.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone's asking for a picture. Out in public, oh my God, that's Jerry Jones. The only reality that he probably gets, it reminds me of Michael Jordan cutting off Barkley, mm-hmm. right? Because Michael's got his group of kiss asses and enablers, and Charles is like, you suck as an owner. You're doing a terrible job. And Michael, I think, was so not used to hearing that. They've never talked even to this day after being best friends. And Jerry don't want that.
Think about what he told y'all as a critique. Well, we can go back to all the mistakes I've made since 2010. That's not productive. In that same response, he goes, let's talk about 1989 and what a bold move that was. I was like, hold up. You just said, let's not talk about the last 14 years. And instead, you want to go back, what, another 21 years into the past and say, well, let's talk about that.
It's too far in the past. There was no need to bring it. There was no need to bring up 2021.
There's no need to bring up 12 wins. That was my biggest disappointment yesterday, is the way he was talking. I'm like, do you want us to throw you a parade and pat you on the back for 12-win regular seasons?
He what about it?
What would George Steinbrenner, what would he say the Yankees?
Fire Billy Martin.
Finished with all these. Top seed, won the American League East for 3 years in a row and got bounced first round.
You know
what? What would he do, Mike? George.
Usually fire the manager.
Okay.
But you know what? And this is...
And this is
would George Steinbrenner say on his New York radio show, Yo, what about all the regular season wins? Would he?
Not in one second.
Not 1 second. That's a standard. You know who else wouldn't be an unfair standard? It's a standard.
When he was alive, wouldn't do that either.
You know what?
Exactly.
Here's the George did do that right before the 90s run. He used to brag about they had the most wins of any team in the 80s. And that's when everybody knew that he was like there's something going, like he's losing. He's losing his mind here. Now, he got banned from baseball, and then the team got great again. But it wasn't his doing, right? He wasn't his doing at all. This is when you know, like, you're trying to go into full defense mode, right? You're trying to defend your record. Jerry doesn't need to give us his resume.
His resume without Jimmy is he sucks at it.
Yeah, we know it.
How dare you?
The full?
He said 30 years to prove it wasn't Jimmy. And he can't even come close. Because he goes, what are the 31 other teams? The sad thing is he doesn't want to go back further and go, oh my gosh, it's just us and Washington as the teams who can't even get to a conference championship game. If you just look at it, you have a 1-in-8 chance of making the conference championship game every year. And for 30 years, he can't even do that because he's that bad at his job.
I cannot wait to listen. Kevin Hagelin said we have to hear the first 4 or 5 minutes of the full crew back together again.
45 hours. And then 5 hours of G-Bag. Yeah, okay, I think that's cool. What he was saying, just Tolo.
Corey, you got the memo.
Let's go.
Good job. The KMC Masterpiece, next on The Fan.